Father, we thank You and we praise You for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank You that we don't have to rely any longer on the creeds and doctrines of men, but You've given us Your very best, the teacher sent from heaven, the Holy Spirit, to inoculate us against deception and to reveal the truth of Your Word. Father, we thank You for a good meal tonight, Lord. Lord, we don't want kimchi, we want beef. Give us beef, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Turn to, I'm going to be using, I just got this today from my good friend Russ Gressett, so this time I'll give him credit. I'll probably forget, really. Part of it I knew, part of it is really I didn't. And so, hallelujah. I like to eat too. But this is good. It's on idolatry. And go to Ezekiel 14. Put a marker in 1 Corinthians 10. And Matthew 19. Hallelujah. I better look it up too. I'm not sure if he used the King James or the New American Standards. Ezekiel, back where the pages are new. I'm just going to read part of this from his... this little teaching that he sent me. And I think the reason this is important is because we're going to have to come up with a new strategy now for America. Because the old strategy is not going to work. Changing the laws for abortion is not going to happen now. You just need to understand that. So, gay marriage is going to happen probably within the next 4 years. Other things are just going to happen. So we're going to have to change our strategy. See, and you can change the laws, we need to legislate righteously. That doesn't mean we can give up. It doesn't mean, or anything, I'm not, you know, we got to continue always to stand up for righteousness. What the Bible says is sin, that is sin. And I don't care what anybody else says about it. And I, you know, appreciate that everybody has the right to vote the way they want, that I pray that You'll remember me when I'm in prison a few years down the road. I'm going to miss my grandchildren. Just remember, okay? Because I'm going to keep preaching that sin is sin, even when it's illegal. Okay? So just remember. Make intercession. But the strategy now is going to have to change. What we're going to have to do now... See, if you could... Let's say this tomorrow that the laws were changed in the right way and abortion was illegal in this country. Well, that doesn't mean abortion's not going to happen. Okay? You know, it's still going to happen, and they're right in some degree that what's going to make it real dangerous, because abortions have to be done in dark alleys. You know, I mean, that's kind of the picture they paint. It's going to be not be able to go into a sterile, good place because it's going to be done under the table, but it's still going to be done. So what's going to have to happen? We're going to have to evangelize again this nation. Okay? The only way to really stop abortion is you've got to change the heart. You've got to change the heart. The only way we're going to stop this homosexual, lesbian, gay marriage thing, we've got to get those people saved. And you'll say, well, they already are saved. No, they're not. No, they're not. That's not the nature of Christ that does that. We're going to have to get delivered from our own idols, our own way of thinking. I was just looking today, and it's free country. I'll fight to the death for your right to vote however you see fit. Okay, that doesn't mean I agree with you. Okay, so Dave was talking about that agreement today. You know, when you check your when you put your mark by a name, you're setting yourself in agreement. Well, the verse that comes to mind is. It's in 1 John, I didn't look it up, but it says, he that hates his brother is really a murderer in his heart. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. I say it out loud. No murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now they say abortion is not murder. And if they're ignorant on that, you know, he said, it's above my pay grade to decide that. But God says He knew you in the womb. God says He knew you in the womb. Now, how in the world you can say abortion is not murder? I don't know. Okay? But if you said, if you put your check mark there, you came in agreement with that. So just things to think about. Now, what's going to have to happen? We're going to have to have a real revival. Really, if anything, though, what's going to, in a way, I should have brought those prophecies from the camp meeting. Because God was saying great things in there. Great things are coming to the church. And He knows the end from the beginning. So He knew what was coming. The only thing I can get out of this, to make those two things work together, light shines brightest when it's dark. Yeah. The darker it is, the brighter the light shines. Now, the light was there the whole time. But boy, it shines really bright the darker it is. So your opportunity to let your... Well, I started to say little light shine. to let your big light shine. Going to get to shine. It may be in prison. But you're going to get to shine. It may be while they're throwing rotten eggs and tomatoes at your car. Maybe as you have to come through the reporters, to get into the church. But you're going to get to shine. Remember those of us that are in prison, please. When you vote the next time. Now, God's going to start tearing down some idols. Okay? Russ says here, and I'll be teaching on this again at another time. I just don't know when I'm going to get to. He says, idolatry is something I think we gloss over as Christians. We tend to look at it as something other foreign nations do, or like some wooden or golden calf that we have to see as being God. So we kind of excuse ourselves from idols, you know. We're not idol worshippers. We're modern Americans, you know. He said, that's not true at all. Idolatry really comes down to heart issues and to the order of things in our lives. So this first passage now, Ezekiel 14, God was talking about Israel. He's talking about His people, not the Gentiles. He was talking about His people, the ones that knew the law, the ones that had a covenant with God. Type and shadow of the church today. It says, Ezekiel 14, verse 1, "Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart, and they have put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them?" Should I allow them to ask me any questions at all? In other words, why don't they ask their idols? "Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that sets up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, I the Lord will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me." They're separated from God through their idols. Idolatry is, now this is Russ again, idolatry is formed from those things that we allow to take a seat in front of God in our lives. By doing so, both we and God are robbed, and we can see it in our agendas. We can see it in what we focus on daily, if we step back a little bit and look with some perspective. If the Father does not lead us into the things that occupy our time, then those things that occupy our time are set in front of Him. Have you ever gotten into something and over the long haul that something just seemed like it ended up pulling you away from God? Or down the road it was hard for you to see the hand of the Lord in it? Idolatry robs God of us, and it robs us of God. It's a thief. It's rampant in America, as it was also for the children of Israel. And let me just stop for a moment and add my comment here. Normally, idolatry is good things amongst Christians. What I mean is it's not necessarily something evil. People can make soccer, their kids' soccer games, which is something very good. I think it's good for them to be involved in sports and activities. That soccer can become an idol, where suddenly now you can't go to church anymore. And those kids see you make that decision, which is more important in your life? Soccer game or the house of the Lord, you know, worship time. Don't think for a minute it doesn't make an impact on them. That's going to affect them down the road. That's what I mean. Idolatry is normally, amongst Christians, it's not normally evil things, you know, in the sense of something that the Bible would call sin. It's just something that takes the place of God in your heart. I have to watch all the time that our ministry doesn't become an idol to me. All the time. I mean, at least two or three times a year, I'll have a time alone with the Lord, and I'll just put the whole ministry, Gary Carpenter Ministries, right back on it. I said, Lord, I'll shut this thing down by Friday. This is your ministry. It's not mine. If it's becoming an idol in my heart, I had an opportunity within the last year or two. Again, I'll go ahead. Somebody needs to hear this. In the beginning, we never set out to build a ministry. We really didn't. We set out to pray. And as we would hear the Lord give instruction, and one little instruction at a time, we'd obey that. Start a Bible study. Okay. We started a Bible study. It says, record the services. We started recording the services. Give the tapes away free. We started giving the tapes. I mean, that's just the way it was. One little instruction at a time. Who knew it was going to develop into what it developed into? Well, when he started saying to send internationally the tapes free, now that was a little horse of a different color. And it's very expensive to do that, but we did it. And so we're sending all these things not only around the USA now, but all over the world. The postage at the height of that was like $4,500 a month sometimes. It was very expensive. But you can see the hand of the Lord. A lot of times you can see His plan in hindsight better than you can in foresight. And so as we would do it, then I started understanding how the Lord was causing finances to come in. Because in the natural, you know, we would just send it because He told us to send it free. Well, you know, people ask for a nice set of tapes. And this is back when we was doing tapes. And we did them in albums. We printed nice labels. Albums were well done. And, you know, if people get something from you once a month or once every 2 months, and boy, this is nice. They get it in the mail. It's free. We don't even have a return envelope in there, and it's really well done. At least there is an opportunity for them to go, man, maybe I ought to help with the expenses of this, you know. Maybe I ought to help. And so, in hindsight, I saw that that was part of what the Lord would use. At least there was an opportunity when they'd receive stuff for Him to talk to them. And if they didn't, that was fine. We'd send them tapes forever. You know, it's okay. Well, then He starts saying, well, I want you to digitize everything and put it on the web and make it free. And then, for countries, people that have slow internet, in, you know, like South Africa, their internet's really slow there for the homeowner because they still have old copper telephone wires, and it's just real. That's all they have. Well, it takes too long to download those, so we started putting the messages on a DVD and sending it to them so they don't have to download. So now instead of sending them, you know, tapes once a month, once every 2 months, whenever they'd ask for them, now, you know, so they'd have an opportunity at least to think, gee, maybe we should help. Now we send them one DVD. It's got 400 messages on it. And that's all we're going to send them. I had a question. The girls had a question. They could see it coming. And they saw the way we was going. They get their paychecks from Gary Carpenter Ministries. And they, Daddy? Yes, my little daughter. Daddy, are we going to have a job here this time next year? I said, well, I don't know. You know, we'll see. So I tried to act real confident and everything in front of them. I go home, Father? Isn't this strategy going to vastly affect the finances of Gary Carpenter Ministries? And I heard just as clear as you're hearing my voice right now, he said, the finances of the ministry became your responsibility. When? When did that happen? Starting to become an idol to me, see. Starting to look at the ministry as my source. Let's go beyond there. The people as my source. When really God is my source. Okay?
So Jinho is real smart, Pastor Jinho, Sune both. So they were asking me. They've seen this transition. I haven't seen them in 2 years. So he was asking me, you know, from friend to friend. He could see the handwriting on the wall. He said, well, what happened? He said, with your finances. He says, when I saw what you was doing, we've been praying for you, because I'm going, he says, I don't see how this can work. I go, I didn't either. You know? But I just knew what he said to do. So he just asked me, and what's interesting, I don't make a habit of doing this, but right before I left to go to Korea, something prompted me. Now I know it was the Holy Ghost. We keep all of our records in a software called QuickBooks. And so, you know, just to compare year to date, right before I left, with the previous year, the income. Just to compare it. And at that time, the income year to date this year compared with last year, we were ahead $18,000, which is a lot. I mean, for our size ministry, that's 15% of the annual income, you know, more than 15%. That's a lot. And so he was asking me, how is that possible, Jinho? I said, well, you got to remember what God originally told me. The original instruction was, if you will obey what I tell you to do, God says, Gary, if you'll obey what I tell you to do, I will speak to the hearts of the people I choose to support you and the needs of the ministry. I said, he's never changed that. So what happened, yes, if you were just going to plot the income that came from Mary Wallpaper Believer and what is it, Joe Normal? The income has vastly tapered off because they're not receiving anything, and so, you know, out of sight, out of mind. But I said, what God did, he began speaking to the hearts of other people. And I said, we started receiving one-time offerings. One of them was for $5,000. One was for $7,000. One was for $10,000. Several for $2,000. That's very unusual for Gary Carpenter Ministries. Or at least it used to be. The way it always was up until now, you know, $25, $15, $10, $50, $100. You know, that was a big offering. And I said, so the Lord's just doing it a different way. But he's still doing exactly what he said he would do. He said he would. My job is to obey him and not make an idol out of the ministry and not make decisions based on money. My job is to do what he tells me. His job is to provide. Amen? Now, so I could say right now, trust him. And I do say, trust him. But I'm not saying it won't be scary. It'll scare the bejabbers right off of you. You know? Now, what has happened, our workload has gone down so much at the ministry. Because instead of, you know, you send all your messages in one shot on a DVD, it's going to greatly affect your workload. That, you know, for years, all three of our daughters was working for us. And we had volunteers coming in 2 days a week to help. But now the workload has gone down. Even though if you just count the number of messages on those DVDs, if you count the messages we're sending more of God's Word now than we ever have before. It's just the mechanics of doing it. He so simplified it. So we didn't really have enough work for all three of them anymore. So Angie now, she's gone to work for Larry Dillard, working down at Larry Dillard Medical. And so Aaron and Amanda are doing it all. We don't have volunteers coming anymore. And I don't know, pretty soon it may be a one-person operation. So we'll see. But can you see that example right there, how the ministry itself, or at least let's say the finances. The biggest idol you're going to face is mammon in America. You can't serve God and mammon. Well, if I'd have made my decisions based on what mammon was telling me, I would never have done that last, you know, making everything free and putting it on DVDs. That makes no economic sense. And if you're going to make your decisions based on money. But I found out if you make your decisions based on him, he takes care of the money. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, getting back to this now.
If you was to turn to Exodus 20, which we're going to run out of time, don't do it. That's where the Ten Commandments come. The very, what was the first commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. Remember that? And he said, don't make any idols, don't make any graven images, don't bow down. But the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Alright? Go to 1 Corinthians 10. That's important for something we're going to look at here in a minute. 1 Corinthians 10. Anything that in your heart comes before God, that's an idol. If I had let the financial decisions, the financial pressure keep me from obeying God, I would have been bowing down before the idol of mammon and making my decision based on his counsel instead of what God's counsel was. Okay? 1 Corinthians 10. Let's start in verse 14. It says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Now, this is to New Testament Christians. They're not even looking now at types and shadows. You got that? He's telling New Testament Christians, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything? Or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Let me just stop for a moment. You're not going to be able to reconcile Islam with Christianity. They're going to really try. They're going to really try and make you reconcile with it. You can't reconcile with it. You cannot partake. You got to understand, Islam... By the way, I'll preface it with this. This is Gary Carpenter speaking. This is not Dave Roberson. Send all your letters to me, not him. But I'm telling you straight, Islam is a religion originated in the mind of the devil. You got that? Is that straight enough? It's not another path to God. It's another path to hell. Okay? Alright? And all of their sacrifices, including the terrorism and the offering of their own lives, they think they're doing it to God. But they're sacrificing their lives to demons. It's not just pick on them. Every time that Mary appears, that is a demon masquerading as the mother of Christ. I mean, and if Mary really ever did appear, which she won't, but if she did, the last thing the mother of Jesus would do would be looking for worship to her. She would be pointing you to her son. See, these are the kind of things that's going to get us in prison. Do you understand that? Okay? We're going to stand up straight and say homosexuality is an abomination in the sight of God, and nobody who does it goes to heaven. And they're going to put us in prison for that. Okay? Remember your vote. It says, rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Now this last statement is the most important of all. Let no one seek his own, but each, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Is that the way it reads in the King James? Okay. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. But you see how wealth is in italics? The word wealth is not there. So when he says, let no man seek his own what? His own benefit. Let every man seek another's benefit. So this translation is good, well-being.
Alright. Paul makes a particular statement in the passage above where he's exhorting the Corinthians to flee from idolatry. But see, it's so hidden, nobody sees it. He says flee from idolatry, but it doesn't really sound like he's telling you how. Well, that last statement is how. Let no man seek his own. The biggest idol of all is self. Doing what's best for me and fooey on you. You know, that's the biggest idol of them all. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's. Another man's. So he says this exhortation right here is Christ-likeness. It will always do battle straight up with idolatry. The statement is actually a picture of Jesus' whole ministry. It's literally what he did. He considered our well-being first, and he took action to make it happen. Idolatry always has a catch or a draw of, well, this is for me, that will seek to turn this statement of Paul's around in our lives, moving us to a place where we're doing just the opposite of what it says. It's generally what our flesh wants. So don't be fooled when in America we don't have golden calves set up or wooden idols carved out and resting on the mantle. We tend to idolize ourselves. What we want. What will aid me. What will give me the edge. What will put me ahead. And what will bring my crop in, cause my barns to overflow, etc. Let's go to Matthew 19. There's a lot to say here, but this is the main thing. Matthew 19. Is it? Okay. I'll just read out of the King James here now. This is the rich young ruler. Now, you remember back there in Ezekiel where he says, I'm going to answer a man according to the idol in his heart? All right, well, here comes this rich young ruler here. Let me get past this. Let me just read it, starting in Matthew 19:16. Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Russ, I got to give you credit. I've never seen this one before if you hear this message. When Jesus has given him the list of commandments to keep, I'd never noticed he skipped the first one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. In Ezekiel, God says, when a man comes to me and he's got idols in his heart, he's set up things in his heart that's ahead of me, and if he comes and asks me anything, I'm going to answer him according to the idol in his heart. The man came and asked, What must I do? But the problem is he's got an idol in his heart. Jesus sees it. He says, Well, if you're going to really have eternal life, the idol's got to go. So just sell. Now he's going to answer him according to his idol. Well, if you want to be perfect, go and sell. And another Mark, I think, says, All that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I'm going to read from Russ here again. This is a great example. We see a man that started out asking a question, What must I do that I may have eternal life? Jesus listed out some of the commandments, and the rich young ruler replies, I've already done that. What else? Notice that Jesus had intentionally left out the first commandment, the anti-idolatry commandment that we alluded to earlier. You shall have no other God before me. Jesus knew that this was a particular problem with this young man. So instead, Jesus wrapped the first commandment up in an instruction that he gave him. Sell what you have. Give to the poor. Come and follow me. See, there's no way the man can do that.
unless he tears down his idol. Russ, you did good, son. That's a good one. What did Jesus do here? He did exactly what Ezekiel 14 said he would do. The man with an idolatry problem came seeking him with a question. And he's, quote, "I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by their heart, because they are all estranged from me by their idols." Did he not? And the rich young ruler was obviously a man of wealth, and Jesus touched his idol with his instruction. He touched what the man truly had in the first position in his life. The rich young ruler had accumulated the wealth. He did it. Plus, that had a lot to do with how the typical Hebrew proved their righteousness to others. If they had a lot of possessions and wealth, well, obviously God had blessed them. Hey. Yeah. Y'all have heard similar things to this today. You've heard similar to this today. So if they had a lot of possessions and wealth, well, God had obviously blessed them so that they would show everyone else that they're truly righteous. But if everything was sold and given away, well, he decided, I'm just not going to do that. There's too much downside to my idol, which is really me. We idolize ourselves. Well, there's a lot here. It says, how do we know that we have an idolatry problem? Obviously, we start with asking the Father to reveal it to us. And I found that it's really a dependency issue. Dependency? What he means, what do we depend on? Yeah, what do we depend on? Where is our true trust? Now, that example I gave you from our ministry, I have to fight that all the time. Every ministry I know of has to fight it all the time, although most of them don't even recognize it as being an idol, I don't think. But I know there's a real danger. What started out as being God's ministry, if I'm not careful, will become Gary Carpenter's ministry. I don't ever want to take ownership. And I regularly do it mainly because I know the danger of it and how easy it is to happen. And I'll put this whole ministry back on the altar and say, God, I can shut this thing down by Friday. Yeah, we can shut it down by Friday. I can remove our 501c3 and return all the donations. And it's just, well, what do you want me to do? Is it still yours? You got to watch idolatry in your heart. See, what do you depend on? And if I still depended on the people or the ministry for the finances, which we do in a way, but only secondarily behind God. That's the vehicle he's using right now. But if he told me to shut it down, guess what? He's got another vehicle for me. He's got some other way of taking care of us. I don't know what it is, but he knows what it is. So very often he says it's a dependency issue. What do we depend on? Where is our true trust? Do we see the Father as our true source, even when it comes from something that is apparently our own handiwork? Let's ask ourselves the question, where are the concerns and worries and anxieties in my life coming from? What is my thought life spent on the most? The altars are open. I hear, oh, oh. I say again, Russ, you did good, son. That's a good one. How much of everyday life do we filter through the Word of God as it actually happens? A lot? Some? None? God doesn't want to just be recognized and focused on the first 30 to 60 minutes of each day. He wants to walk with us. Walk with us the whole day. Every day. Let's all ask God to show us areas of idolatry in our lives. And He will answer faithfully that prayer. And if we're honest, we probably already know some of them already. He offers up this prayer, and I think it's a good one. So let me lead you in this prayer. You'll like it. Say, Father, I see that idolatry is an issue. It's an issue of the heart. It robs me of you.
It robs me of you.
And it robs you of me.
I repent of areas in my life
where I have placed things
and people
and business
and ministry
before you.
Help me, Father.
Walk the days of my life
in intimacy with you.
Always leaning on
and trusting in you.
Seeing what you are doing
and getting involved where you're working.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yep. Glory to God. It's going to be a year of casting down idols.
In case you were wondering, most of you probably already know, but
when I tell you that we got gifts of 10,000 and 7,000 and 5,000 and 2,000 and on and on and on.
Well, Gary, didn't that really,
really affect you and Sue?
Didn't affect us at all.
Except we got to get our paycheck. Because when it doesn't come, you know, we're the last ones to get paid. Everything else has to get paid first. And we get paid out of if there's something left. So we thank God there was something left. But see, it wouldn't have made any difference if it had been, one of those gifts had been $10 million. It wouldn't affect us personally. See? And that goes to stewarding the pound, you know, and that whole teaching there. So I just, in case anyone was wondering, no, it doesn't affect us at all. Except we get our paycheck, thank God.
You
know?
Hallelujah.
But if he changes to some other method, you know, God may say, I'm going to finance you by coffee cans.
What?
Yeah, I want to show you in the backyard where to dig because somebody buried a coffee can full of money 150 years ago. Yeah, you know. I don't care what he says. I do, but it doesn't matter what he says. You know, it's just different. But he's still going to provide for me. You know, he can provide by three-legged turtles. One could show up once a month with a big fat check in its mouth. Who, you know, I don't care. I don't know why three-legged, but anyway.
It's slower.
It's a wonder the sun does shine. That boy is so bright. I tell you what, man, that's a good one. It's slower. Deep calleth to deep. Yeah, that's good. Oh, hallelujah.